Lollapalooza, the festival that had been such a galvanizing force, just wasn't the same anymore. The 1995 tour was pretty much business as usual with Sonic Youth and Hole and Back in Pavement. But in 1996, the headliner was Metallica. That just didn't seem right. And by the end of 1997, organizers pulled the plug on the whole idea. As all this was going on, alt-rock was hit with a series of what seemed to be a never-ending series of one-hit wonders, all in some way derivative of the original sounds that we heard in the early 90s. Now, some of these songs were really good, but after one single, we never heard from Harvey Danger or Oleander or Chumbawamba or K's Choice ever again. This was really annoying, since the CD single was being phased out in North America. So the only way that you could get one of these songs was to spend $15 or $20 on a CD. And many people were getting really tired of getting one good song and 40 minutes of filler. Things weren't much better in the UK. Drugs had infested the Britpop scene, messing up perfectly good bands. The third album from Oasis was considered to be a disappointment. And Blur was distancing themselves from anything Britpop, both in sound and attitude. Meanwhile, the same demographic shift that had ushered in alt-rock in 1991 played a role in 1996. Gen X was growing up and moving on. They were replaced by Gen Y, which was an even larger demographic group. Now, they had largely been unaffected by the recession of the early 90s or the first Gulf War. All they saw around them was the prosperity of the mid-1990s economic boom. They didn't want music made by people who were so miserable that they killed themselves. They wanted happy music. Like this. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. No, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really want as big as it can. If you wanna be my lover. By the end of 1996, Gen Y and most of the rest of the planet was firmly and defiantly into a new era of pop music. Spice Girls, Britney Spears, Puff Daddy, Mariah Carey, R. Kelly, En Vogue. And then came boy band mania, the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Robbie Williams. Even if you weren't into that kind of thing, you might have gone all retro. Clubs all over the world were packing people in to retro 80s nights, where the DJ played happy, danceable alt rock from the 1980s, with a really big emphasis on the technopop years, Depeche Mode and Soft Cell and Erasure. Meanwhile, high-profile releases from bands like R.E.M. and Pearl Jam failed to sell as well as expected. Instead, like I said, we began to suffer through a series of one-hit wonders and watered-down versions of what grunge used to be. Even U2, which by now was undisputably the biggest band in the world, was confused by what to do next. After a series of gigantic albums, they tried to modernize things with a record called Pop, which was solidly influenced by club culture and electronics. But despite some solid initial reviews, things soon turned sour. Sales for this album were lower than anything since the October album in 1982. You can read, but you can't grab it. You can hold it, control it. You can't bag it. You can push, but you can't direct it. Circulate, regulate, oh no. You're far off your net. While U2 was trying and failing to make technology their friend, and thereby saving rock in the process, it became apparent that alt-rock was going through many of the same spasms it did in 1980 when the synthesizer really began to take hold. Back then, there were many people who would confidently tell you that guitar rock was definitely dead. The future was in electronics. The term that came out of the UK dance clubs was electronica. And when this band entered the American charts at number one with their Fat of the Land album in July of 1997, it looked like the rock is dead people might just be right. Prodigy with Firestarter from their 1997 album, The Fat of the Land. Electronica was the buzzword. One-hit wonders, Days of the News, Sneaker Pimps, The Sundays, were killing alt-rock. And the old guard, Pearl Jam, U2, Soundgarden, seemed to have either been neutered or broken up entirely. At the same time, hip-hop was gaining strength. There were predictions that it would become the new music of young people. And then there were those who thought that the future might lie in taking hip-hop and merging it into rock. What happened there is next.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Please take notes. There will be a quiz.
107.3, The Edge.
Need more speed? Right now, get Black Friday savings on Western Canada's undisputed fastest internet. TELUS PureFibre 3 gig. From $95 a month, you'll save more than $1,300 over 2 years. Plus deals on phones, data, security, and more. Hurry to telus.com/Black Friday.
What would it sound like if Alberta breathed a collective sigh of relief? Maybe like... Or a little like, we're about to find out. Because Alberta drivers are finally getting some relief on car insurance. Learn how the new Care First model is bringing you more benefits, faster care, and lower cost premiums at alberta.ca/care-first. That's better. A message from the Government of Alberta.
And we're back.
I've gotta say, what a thrill.
Couldn't agree more, Jeff. My blood is pumping.
Canadian Blood Services needs 450 new donors every day to keep Canada's lifeline strong.
And in the final quarter of the day, we have 55 left to... What's that?
Is that a new donor?
It's a new donor.
We're at 396. Only 54 left to go.
This is the 450 challenge. Let's get Canada's blood pumping.
Book an appointment today at blood.ca/450.
Why do I love getting my holiday gifts at Shoppers Drug Mart? The PC Optimum points. Perfume for mom? Points for me. Chocolates for the teachers? Oh yeah, points for me. Shoppers, you should totally go. Exclusions apply.
Hey, was someone supposed to turn off the Black Friday deals?
Really? They're still on?
Yeah.
And that's deals on, like, a ridiculous amount of resorts, right?
Yeah.
And they're some of the lowest prices we've had all year?
Yeah.
Well, we're in it now. How should we spin this?
Sunwing's Black Friday deals are still on, so book before they're gone for good. How's that?
That'll do.
This isn't just about nutrition. It's not just fuel. This is about what separates us from animals. This is about experimentation, discovery. It's refreshingly citrusy, delectably salty. Umami, give me that umami. We're bringing the heat mixed with sweet. This isn't a matter of consumption. Oh no, this right here, this is a matter of taste. This is art. This is what you savor. There's food and then there's flavor.
Flavor Network, coming soon.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
The idea of merging rap and rock goes back a lot longer than most people realize. It was 1980 when Blondie, the leading American new wave act of the day, released a single called Rapture. The middle bit sounded like this.
Bad Five Freddy told me every car to slide. DJ is spinning, I said, my. Flash is fast, flash is cool, front slots and far. Flash ain't no two, and you don't stop. Sure shot.
Later that same year, The Clash got into the act with their Sandinista album with a song called...
The Magnificent Seven. Ring, ring, it's 7 a.m. Move yourself to goal again. Cold water in the face brings you back to this awful place. Knock on merchants and your bankers too. Let's get up and learn those rules. With a man and the crazy chief. One says sun and one says sea. A.M. the F.M. the P.M. too. Turning out that boogaloo. Get you up and I guess you out. But how long can you keep it up? Give me Honda, keep you sunny. So cheap and real phony. Hong Kong dollar, Indian cents, English pounds and Eskimo pence.
As we roll through the 1980s, we began to see more punk funk bands. Gang of Four, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fishbone, Faith No More. By the time we got to the mid-80s, rap was starting to find mainstream acceptance. But for the most part, it was still an urban thing, and it was still a black thing. People who lived in the city got it and got into it, but out in the suburbs, no one much cared. A few new rock and alternative radio stations tried to play this new music because, after all, it was new, and it certainly was an alternative to the mainstream, but even that audience wasn't much into it, despite their constant harping about how much of an open mind they had about new music. It was one of those weird racial, economic, and geographic divisions that sometimes separates different types of music. Really, what the white kids in the suburbs and in the smaller cities and towns needed was rap with training wheels, something to lead them slowly into this new musical universe. The big break came in 1986. Rick Rubin, the head of a new label called Def Jam, was a big fan of rap, and he especially loved the work of New York's best rappers, Run DMC. But Rubin was also a metalhead from way back, and when he heard Run DMC work with a particular drum beat, he had an idea. Why don't we take Run DMC and put them together with the guys who came up with that drum beat and do a rock rap version of the whole thing? And this is how Run DMC and Aerosmith hooked up for a new version of Walk This Way. Aerosmith and Run DMC, nothing was the same. Rap and hip-hop was everywhere. And when three white Jewish kids from New York released their debut record, well, you know. Kick it!
Classes at night.
Beastie Boys with a gigantic hit from their 1986 debut album, License to Ill, the first rap album to ever hit number one on the American album charts. By the end of the 1980s, we were starting to see more rock-rap hybrids. In July of 1989, things finally began to pay off for Faith No More. After nearly a decade of refining their brand of funk rap metal, they released an album entitled The Real Thing. It started slow, but once the video channels picked up on the video for this song, the video with the exploding piano and the flopping fish, things just went crazy.
Thank you.
Faith No More and a few bands like them proved a lot of people that there was some kind of middle ground between guitar-based rock and full-on rap. They started to think things through. Both forms of music were aggressive and in your face. Both forms of music were big into heavy beats, which sounded great on car stereos and in clubs. You could dance and mosh to both. And, not least of all, this music really annoyed parents. Never underestimate the attractiveness of driving mom and dad nuts with what you're playing in your room. Now, one of the cool things about some of the people who were into alternative music was that they didn't carry some of the perceptual baggage that mainstream rock fans had about rap and hip-hop. Chances are that if a person was into Motley Crue and Warrant and Poison and Skid Row and Van Halen full-time, that person probably wouldn't be too interested in what rap and hip-hop had to offer. On the other hand, alternative fans, well, some alternative fans, prided themselves on having an open mind and a willingness to at least try the newest and weirdest music out there. As their numbers grew, and as alternative music became more and more popular, more and more people were willing to look at this hybrid of rock and hip-hop and go, hey, cool, bring it on. Even straight rap performers like De La Soul and Cypress Hill and NWA and Ice-T found themselves with more and more white fans, white alternative fans. And of course, Ice-T blew everybody's mind with his appearance on the 1991 Lollapalooza Festival. He rapped, but he also rocked with his new band, Body Count. Meanwhile, the Beastie Boys, after confusing people with Paul's Boutique, an album that was, quite honestly, so far ahead of its time that no one knew what to make of it, rebounded with a series of platinum albums. The Chili Peppers scored big with Blood Sugar Sex Magik, and there was a new band called Rage Against the Machine that seemed to know what they were doing. As the 90s wore on, and as pop music got bigger, this new branch of alt-rock got heavier and harder and darker. It also ended up splitting the alt-rock community in two. More on that in a moment.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3, The Edge.
First time dad taught you to change a tire. First time driving his truck. First day of your apprenticeship. First time seeing dad in the hospital. First time figuring out his meds. First drive in his old pickup truck after the accident. Thousandth time he tells you to stop riding the clutch with a smile. Whenever your first day as a family caregiver might be, we'll be there to lighten the load. Learn how we're helping caregivers at caremakers.ca.
When housing isn't available, the Calgary Drop-In Centre is here to help. We provide vital support to Calgarians through shelter, food, health, recovery, and housing programs until folks find their way home. Together with our community partners, we impact over 27,000 lives every year, but we can't do it without you. Your support makes a difference. Donate today at calgarydropin.ca. Together, we can help light the way home.
Greenhouse gas pollution heats the planet
and threatens our nature.
Canada's carbon price is designed to reduce this pollution in order to protect our environment.
And the Canada Carbon Rebate gives money back to Canadians.
In Alberta, an individual gets $900 this year, with a bonus for those in rural areas.
Have it both ways with the Canada Carbon Rebate. Find out how it works and how much you could receive at canada.ca/carbon rebate.
A message from the Government of Canada.
Get massive deals on outdoor tech at the Black Friday Door Crashers Sale. On now at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Get $1,200 off the Garmin Echomap Ultra 106 SV with 10-inch touchscreen and high-def sonars. And save $150 on the SpyPoint Flex S Cellular Trail Camera 2-Pack, featuring instant mode so you can get on-demand photos and videos direct to your phone. Save on the best outdoor gear at the Black Friday Door Crashers Sale. On now at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. While quantities last, see store for details.
The deals are on at Real Canadian Superstore. This week, get a 5-pound bag of mandarins for only $4.99. And until December 4th, get a free poinsettia when you spend $300 on top of our daily deals. Find more ways to save at Real Canadian Superstore. Conditions apply. See flyer for details.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
By 1997, the buzzword amongst fans of heavy, rap-influenced hard rock was new metal. New spelled N-U with an umlaut. And for a while, the biggest alt-rock bands on the planet had some sort of funk or hip-hop influence in their sound. From Bakersfield, California, there was Corn, led by Jonathan Davis, an ex-mortician's assistant. From Detroit, there was Kid Rock, who found a lot of love on MTV with his album Devil Without a Cause, which sold over 7 million copies. Rage Against the Machine continued to, rage with their funky blend of rap and metal and hip-hop. And then there was Limp Bizkit, led by a workaholic frontman named Fred Durst. They were absolutely gigantic in the late 1990s with their aggressive take on things. And when they toured, chances were the kids who came to see them would experience rap firsthand from support acts like Method Man or Redman or even Run DMC. In 1999, songs like this seemed to point towards alt-rock's future. Limp Bizkit and their kin were behind the most popular sort of alt-rock on the planet. But not everybody was convinced. The music was too heavy, too testosterone-driven, and after a while, it all began to sound the same. And then the whole scene took a big hit at the 30th anniversary Woodstock Festival with its fires and violence that some attribute to crowds whipped up by sets from bands like Limp Bizkit. Nu metal had a major polarizing effect. You either loved it or you despised it. And while it was an antidote to all the sweet, sappy teen pop that was out there, you know, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Britney, it was just a little too hard and a little too, I don't know, drunken frat boy for many. The only real exception was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who pulled it back from the brink with their Californication album. Everybody seemed to like that record. But frankly, the pickings for interesting alt-rock at the end of the 20th century were rather thin. And once again, gotta go back to all those one-hit wonders. Semisonic, anyone? Fastball? Primitive Radio Gods? And then there were the ever more derivative sounds that came out of grunge with bands like Creed or a slowly disintegrating Stone Temple Pilots or a dying Silverchair. But there was some interesting music being made. While Green Day struggled, Blink-182 established themselves as multi-platinum punks. Beck was turning into a major talent. Kid Rock, despite some obvious sonic kinship with the new metal crowd, had an appeal that was obviously somewhat broader. Meanwhile, over in England, a few bands managed to climb from the wreckage of Britpop and establish themselves as supranational entities. One of these bands was from Oxford, and they released a record that many people still consider one of the best, if not the best, alt-rock records of the decade. It was OK Computer from Radiohead. Radiohead wasn't the only British band filling the void left by Oasis and Blur. The Verve had regrouped, and they created a monster album in the form of Urban Hymns, another 1997 record. Fatboy Slim surprised everyone with his take on electronica and turntablism. And somewhere between Oxford and London, a new group called Coldplay was starting to get their act together. But overall, it still was a rough time for alt-rock fans. Pop ruled. Let's make no mistake about it. Pop was king, and there seemed to be a dearth of new stuff beyond nu metal. Was alt-rock, or in fact, was all-rock really dead? Well, no. It was out there. It had just become harder to find. But that was about to change. And once it did, everything changed. A look ahead to chapter 14 is next.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
How do you, Subway holiday lover?
I'm dreaming of a turkey sub.
Well, hold on to your chestnuts for Subway's new festive faves meal. A 6-inch turkey sub with cranberry Dijon,
ooh,
crispy potato rings,
ooh,
and 2 red velvet cookies.
Ooh, jingle my bells.
No thank you, but all this delicious and fixins for just $8.99.
Yum, maybe some sugar plums.
No idea what that is. The new festive faves meal, a merry $8.99, only at Subway. At participating Canadian restaurants. Extras additional. Terms and conditions apply.
By the fireplace.
What would it sound like if Alberta breathed a collective sigh of relief? Maybe like... or a little like... We're about to find out. Because Alberta drivers are finally getting some relief on car insurance. Learn how the new Care First model is bringing you more benefits, faster care, and lower cost premiums at alberta.ca/care-first. That's better. A message from the Government of Alberta.
Looking for value? Get more for your PC Optimum points during the Holiday Super Redemption event at Shoppers Drug Mart. From now until December 4th, redeem 250,000 points to get up to $400 off. That's an extra $150 in value. Conditions apply. Plus, we've dropped prices on hundreds of everyday essentials. So visit Shoppers Drug Mart today and enjoy 2 great ways to save for the holidays. Exclusions apply. Details in store and online.
Love a good deal but can't stand the Black Friday chaos? There's a better way to save with the experts at Sell Off Vacations. Deals on sun, cruise, and USA packages. Plus, bonus savings of up to $200 instantly. We make the year's biggest savings season your budget's happy place. Forget the crowds. Shop with us. Contact your local travel expert or visit
selloffvacations.com.
The Canada-wide clearance is on at GMC. Get a $7,500 cash credit on 2024 Sierra 1500 Crew Cab Elevation models. With Sierra's 13.4-inch diagonal premium GMC infotainment system with Google built-in compatibility, available off-road package with hill descent control, plus an available 3-liter Duramax diesel engine, you can take the road less traveled and try new things, like fishing or whitewater rafting. I should have gone fishing. Ask your GMC dealer for details.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
As we waited for the computers to rise up and kill us thanks to the Y2K bug, the biggest albums in the world were by the Backstreet Boys, Ricky Martin, Britney Spears, the Dixie Chicks, TLC, Christina Aguilera, and Shania Twain. And NSYNC and Destiny's Child and Nelly would soon have multi-platinum records too. What was an alt-rock fan supposed to do? Drown in one-hit wonders? Embrace nu metal? Go ahead and buy that Creed album? At any other time in history, yeah, probably. But by the end of 1999, there was another option. It was easy, effective, addictive, and above all, free. An entire universe of music suddenly became available, and you didn't have to leave your bedroom. At the same time, rock music had become, well, so mediocre that it had reached the point where enough people said, right, that's it. It's now up to me to fix it. This is where chapter 14 will start, with the return of rock. If you want more like this, there are hundreds of ongoing history of new music podcasts available for free. All the platforms have them. Make sure you follow and like the feed so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you can rate and review, that would be great. We can meet up on all the social media channels. There's my website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. It's updated every day. Plus, there's the free daily newsletter that goes with it. And I have another podcast. It looks at the intersection of music and true crime. Look for Uncharted Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry wherever you get your podcasts. And I welcome any emails, too. Drop me a line at alan@alancross.ca. Technical productions by Rob Johnston. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Alan Cross.
The Ongoing History of Alternative Rock.
Sundays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on 107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
This is 107.3 The Edge. Calgary's iconic alternative.
Iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge.
good.
It's the Wicked Awesome Music Survey.
Vote for songs you want to hear on the radio and the ones you don't.
You could win a cool $1,000.
Take the Wicked Awesome Music Survey.
Win $1,000
at 1073edge.com.
Another day breaks and the last one's gone. You dig deep just to carry on. You dance straight up, but it don't feel gone. So you slip out the back and you're moving on. Yeah. If this is-